Are we ready? Good morning, everyone. This is Clarissa Thomas, Chair of the Pilot Election Review Committee. This is a public meeting of the Pilot Election Review Committee pursuant to Section 24.6402 Colorado Revised Statutes. The notice of today's meeting was issued by the Secretary of State's office on March 2, 2015. The time is now 9:39, and the date is April 9th, 2015. We are meeting in the Aspen Room, located on the third floor of the Secretary of State's office at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. Would those of you on the phone please introduce yourselves and who you're representing, please?
Steve Moreno, Well County Commission.
And I believe Liz Olson is representing Chuck Boland from El Paso County.
Good morning. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, for joining us. And then the members here in attendance, would you please introduce yourselves?
Jennifer Levin, Disability Law, Colorado.
George Lang.
Connie Ingmeyer, former clerk and recorder.
Donetta Davidson, Director of the Colorado County Clerk and Recorders Association.
Teek Simonton, Eagle County Clerk and Recorder.
Dwight Shellman, Secretary of State's Office.
And again, this is Clarissa Thomas. All of the members of the committee are present today, except, actually, everybody's here. Yay. Okay, for anyone who wishes to testify, there is a sign-up sheet on the back. If you would please, we have that right in front of me. And then there's one in the back. So the hearing is broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's office website, and there are public restrooms located on this floor, right outside this room. Okay. Mr. Benjamin Waters, you don't want to testify. You're just signed up. And Marie Kramer, you just came. Okay. So we have welcome remarks. Please. Are you wishing to testify? Okay. And we have welcome remarks by the Secretary, Mr. Williams.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. First, welcome to Commissioner Moreno. Many of you know him from his work in elections for the last 20 years. He was the chief deputy in Weld County for 8 years and then the clerk and recorder in Weld for 12 years. We asked Colorado counties for to spread the word and provide us with options for who would be a replacement for Commissioner Deb Gardner, who was not able to continue on this committee, but who had served with us on the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee. Received three applications, all very good, but our office review, we felt that Commissioner Marino's extensive background in elections, and he continues to serve on the Election Center Board at a national level, would be beneficial. And so, Steve, welcome to the committee, and thank you for willing to do it. In that vein, I note that there has been a newspaper article from the Denver Post that Ms. Davidson is leaving one of her many jobs, but that does not mean she is leaving all of those jobs. And Danette and I had talked about this quite some time ago, and she agreed at that time to continue serving on this committee even after her retirement from one of her other positions. And I'm presuming that's still the case. Is that not true?
That's correct. I will still serve as being on the on this committee. I think it's very exciting. So I look forward to being here and serving.
Thank you. I did not ask Danetta to serve simply because of one of the positions she has held. She's been obviously a former Secretary of State, a Bent County Clerk and Recorder, and Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder, so she's run elections in both small and large jurisdictions here in the state, and then served as part of the federal Elections Advisory Commission that actually provided certifications. So there are a few people in the state who know more than she does, and I'm delighted with your willingness to continue to serve. So thank you.
Thank you.
Dwight said that there might be some questions and asked me to stop by to just kind of review a little bit about what my goals for this committee are and what they're not. And so I'll make a few remarks and then answer any questions you have. My goal for this committee is very much, as it talks about in the title, to look at the pilot elections and review them. To say, what criteria do we need to use to review them? How are these elections working for the judges, for the clerks who are setting it up, for the voters, both those with and without disabilities who are using the equipment? How easy is it for them to use? And then ultimately to look at those factors and make a recommendation. And so I've looked at the draft mission statement, and that's kind of reflected in those bullet points. The first of those, which is developing a methodology to evaluate those temporarily approved voting systems. How do they work? The second, figuring out a way to get feedback from that. And third, to make recommendations to what you think this office should do ultimately. It is not my intent in establishing the committee to make you to replace Dwight's team and their excellent work in terms of the technical stuff. It is not my intent that this group have to pour through testing results and evaluate whether it meets the requirements of Colorado law. We have staff that will do that. That's more of an objective review. What I need from this group is more of the qualitative review. Nice that it meets the criteria, but how does it work for the voter? Can the judge figure out how to set it up in the morning? Is it easy for the clerk to set up the election who might only be using it twice a year? And so those are the factors that I'm looking for. It is, and so in terms of the test plan, the testing and all of that isn't what I'm asking you to do, but to look from the practical standpoint of how the system works. We didn't hire or didn't ask for folks to serve on the committee based on their vast computer programming knowledge. I don't think we did any test for that. But because of your vast experience in running elections and that process. With that said, I'm not trying to preclude you in any way, but I'm just trying to say the main focus of what I need help with is evaluating this from the practical standpoint. Ultimately, there will be multiple systems, I anticipate, that meet the requirements of federal and state law for the election. But merely meeting the requirements isn't my goal. I want a system that's going to be good for Coloradans, both for our judges, our clerks, and our voters. So, does that... Dwight, did I do what I was supposed to? Did I answer that?
Based on some committee comments at the last meeting, I believe that is what they wanted to understand from you. But if any of the committee members have additional questions, now's the time.
Now's the time, but of course I'm always reachable at any other time as well. Again, thank you for doing this. I know it's going to be a challenging process. We did receive, and Dwight will probably talk to you about this, at least some form of an application from five vendors, and so there will be different systems to look at, and we're hoping they're great.
Great.
Teak Simonton, Eagle County Clerk. I do have a question, and we had talked about this at the first meeting, and just in terms of, in my mind, you know, giving an additional perspective, it was shared that you didn't feel that the costs should be communicated to us for each of the systems, and yet, you know, it's uncertain how this will be funded, and, you know, from a county's perspective, you know, we've had expensive systems that work really well. We've had expensive systems that work really poorly, but it does add the context when you're digging into the questions about a system. It just adds a different layer of consideration, I guess, in my mind. If there was a system that was really more affordable, I might push a little harder to find out if the vendor would be willing to, you know, provide enhancements if they're not available to make it satisfactory or more user-friendly. And I just think that's an important consideration when we're looking at the systems. Thank you.
I think that is a relevant factor in that discussion that takes place after November with this committee. Right now, it's which ones work. And I don't know that the cost is where we need to be looking at first. But I think in that November post-election analysis and getting your recommendation, that is a factor I want you to look at. And that's one of the reasons we asked a commissioner to serve on this. We asked Colorado counties because under current law, the counties will pay a significant portion of the cost of the equipment. And so I agree with you, Teak, that is something that's relevant. But that's the next stage for me, because some of these we may just, it doesn't matter how cheap it is, if it doesn't work, it's not something we'll go with.
Okay. Just following
Mr. Point. Secretary, this is Steve Moreno, County Commissioner, and I apologize. I this was getting myself set up. I'm traveling back to the office leading to one meeting, and you know how it is as a County Commissioner, but I appreciate what you're saying there, and the cost will be something that will be a major concern from the county's intent. I'd just like to know, are you thinking maybe approaching this through legislation for funding? I know when we went through the big change after the HAVA law passed in 2002, believe it or not, that was amazing that we actually had some federal funding to help out the state in implementing the new DREs throughout the state.
I asked, actually I've been working with the Elections Assistance Commission been back in D.C. with various commissioners on several times, and one of those I asked them point blank in a public meeting, is there any federal funding? The answer was no. So we know that's not an option. But I knew that was the answer, but I wanted to ask. Depending on what the costs are and what makes sense, we may indeed approach the legislature and see what their thoughts are. As I think Clerk Simonton knows more than most because of her work on a number of legislative issues. The legislature is sometimes reticent to appropriate money for things. But it is a discussion that I think we'll have, again, once we narrow down what we want to do.
Yeah, I was just following up also on this money issue, because as we get closer, it becomes more and more relevant. But it's hard when, and you were on this committee last year when you were a member of it, that we got certain proposals that were full, all-encompassing systems, and others that only addressed certain parts of it. So it's kind of hard to compare apples and oranges if you don't have an idea. Are you comparing, you know, a full Ferrari package versus a basic Ford package? And your expectations might be different depending upon what it is and the cost. So I guess I'd encourage the group. I'm sure you're looking at this behind the scenes with Dwight and the rest of your staff in trying to decide which are the ones that we should be looking at more closely. But I guess I'd hate to be surprised at the very end if we found out that, you know, one was just so crazily more expensive, and we decided we liked it because it did something slightly better than another. And it would just be, I think it's a relevant fact that we'd like to, I think you're hearing from us that we all like to hear, to see sooner rather than later.
Okay. I appreciate that input, and we'll work on that. We probably, within the parameters of what we can do, try to get you some more information sometime summer, fall time frame.
This is Donetta Davidson, and I totally agree with your perspective of looking at it, in the November time frame, because as we work through it, I think we'll see more of what the system is that each one of them has, what it covers, and I think that definitely we'll want to know what units is involved with that system. You know, we talked about defining what a system was in our committee before. But I think that also with Teak's question that we should be able to ask him, well, are you willing to add such and such to it, you know, at the very end in that November time frame? Maybe at that time we can also question the vendors so that you are able to, you know, the committee is able to feel they got all the information even from the vendors. Have a vendor meeting kind of like we did last time. Just for questions. We've already viewed everything, but if there's questions that we need to ask or something. But I think those decisions will come in the future from the secretary.
As you go forward, we've in some ways left this very much up to you as to how you want to structure some things. And so if there are things that you want, then visit with Dwight and we'll get that scheduled on a meeting to review, whether it's having vendors present or answer Q&A or however you want to structure that. I want you to get as much information as you feel you need in order to make a good recommendation.
This is Donetta again, and this question obviously probably needs to be answered for several of the members on the committee. There will be some travel involved, and is the state willing to pay the expenses of the travel for the committee? I think that they need to be aware of that, yes or no. We didn't ask before, but...
Yes, reasonable.
We're always reasonable.
some of you are working for the state or one of its constituent entities, as the counties get defined at times, but others of you are working as private citizens. We will certainly try and make sure that we address that at a reasonable level. Now, if you wanted a chauffeured limousine, no, that won't be there. But I've never known you to be in a chauffeured limousine. I don't even know if you know how to deal with one, so...
We're fast learners.
But no, we're asking people, part of this committee, you can tell that by some of the people who are here. I didn't just want people to live right in Denver, because Denver has great resources. Colorado Springs has good resources. They can run an election, but we have 64 counties, some of which don't have those types of resources. They're like Bent and Morgan. And so we wanted some folks who are from outside Denver, and so to have them fully participate, yes, if there's something we need to do, we will do that. So,
thank you.
Yes, and so just work with Dwight on how that's here. And while we do make it available electronically for people to participate, there is certainly some advantage in being here in person. And so we recognize that, and we want that expertise, and we're certainly willing to provide that.
I think our concern was more when we're going out to actually the pilots and to actually assess the pilot process. And I think that was where I was concerned for the committee.
Yes, obviously, we don't want every pilot right here in Denver either. And so some of those, I think, are being proposed for as far away as Great Falls. Grand Junction was one of the, and so to go there, yes, and we'll coordinate through here a group heading out there to look at it. And try and come up with cost-effective ways for everyone on the committee to get to where they need to be.
Mr. Secretary, this is Steve Reno once again. Have you already identified who is going to pilot a new system?
I will let Dwight just got the proposals, and he'll be talking about those proposals shortly. So some of them have been more specific than others. But you guys will be talking about that a little bit later, and I'll defer to Dwight on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Secretary?
Thank you again for your work, and if you need me, I'm a whole floor away, so let me know.
Thank you for addressing us. And now, on to the next point. It would be committee governance, and I believe Dwight is going to go over that for us.
Yeah. Before I start on this, and I'm not sure we asked Teak, the secretary wants to buy you lunch if you want to join us. So if you'll look through the menu and tell us what you want, we'll get an order placed. So, Lisa, I think we're ready to go with that order. She's in another room, but she always listens. Okay, so this is Dwight Shellman again, and there are a couple items of committee governance that were really brought to the fore by written comments we received from Al Kolwitz. And I have to say I thank Al for the comments because it frankly required us to implement some processes that we hadn't really thought through. And I think it's a good idea to have these processes in place. So there are two aspects, and to those of you who are on the GoToMeeting, I apologize. For some reason, this computer that we use here is not recognizing a thumb drive that I have all my materials on. I'll describe each of these documents that we're reviewing in detail. And then, just so you know, they will go into the folder for today's meeting on our website immediately after the meeting. I apologize for the fact that I can't seem to display them on the GoToMeeting. So the first governance document I wanted to discuss that members who are present here have a copy of is the mission statement, which was briefly described by Secretary Williams. And I'm going to just review this in some detail so that the members who are participating remotely have an understanding of what we're doing. The Pilot Election Reviews Committee's job is to develop a methodology to evaluate each of the temporarily approved systems used in the county pilot elections during the 2015 coordinated election, and in a fair and objective manner. The committee then is to develop methods and forms to obtain feedback regarding system performance from the various stakeholders in the process, including county election officials, election judges, poll watchers, political parties maybe, and voters, and frankly any other stakeholders the committee identifies and thinks it's important to get feedback from. And then finally, evaluate the performance of the competing systems during the pilot elections according to the methodologies the committee adopts and recommend to the Secretary of State the voting systems that should be certified for use by Colorado counties beginning in 2016. There are numerous activities and subjects that are outside the scope of the Pilot Election Review Committee. The Secretary touched on the first one, which is the decision of whether or not to temporarily approve a voting system. That decision-making authority is vested in the Secretary of State, and he is not, and I think maybe cannot, delegate that to an advisory panel like this committee. So that whole temporary approval process includes receiving applications, determining whether the applications and the supporting documentation is complete, assessing whether those systems substantially comply with Colorado and federal requirements or if additional testing is required, approving test plans if additional testing is required, reviewing final test reports, and then issuing temporary approvals or denials of temporary approvals and subject to conditions of use. Yes, Danetta.
I do have a question on that area. I totally understand, and I know this committee doesn't want even to touch any of that. Will we know, if the systems are being tested to, are they a system that has been in use for a long time and maybe only upgrading a software? Will we know the software that, where it stands and, or is it a brand new system? Will we know those types of things before we go out?
Yes.
Because, I'm not using the right terminology for an older system, a legacy system.
Mm-hmm.
Because, obviously, as we talked before in our committee, we want the very best and the newest also.
Mm-hmm.
So will we know if it's a legacy system or if it's a new system?
Yes. The other aspect of committee governance that I want to discuss is our transparency policy. But in brief, what we are going to do, we apparently have construction immediately overhead. In the process of temporary approval, we generate work product just in the ordinary course. So what we're going to do, first of all, is make all of our work product immediately available on the website as soon as we complete each stage. But I will, I'll give you just a brief overview of the systems now. ESNS is applying for temporary approval of a system that has already been federally certified. I don't know yet the other jurisdictions it's used in, but we can find that out for you and provide that to you if it is. HART is in the final stages of federal certification and it's a new system for us. Because it has not yet been completely federally certified, I don't think it's in use elsewhere, but I'm not certain of that. But we'll provide that information to you. The Dominion system is the central tabulation and election management system has been federally certified and is used elsewhere, New Mexico, among other places. They are developing a new tablet-based in-person voting solution that has not been federally certified. We will be the first to, assuming it meets requirements, temporarily approve its use. And so that's one of the examples where we have, a chunk of legacy system and some new modifications and innovations that we need to look at for the first time. Everyone Counts, as I understand it, is in the final stages of federal certification. They have not yet received it. I know Everyone Counts' system is used elsewhere. I'm not certain if it is by political subdivisions or organizations, but we will provide that to you. And then the final applicant is Clear Ballot. Clear Ballot, aspects of Clear Ballot system have been certified for use, I believe, in Oregon, but not federally. So Clear Ballot is a largely unused and to date untested system. So it'll probably require the most complete testing at this point from what I've seen in the last 3 days. So, but we will definitely update you with that information.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I wasn't clear. I don't know that we need that information now. We just need it before we go out and know what we're looking at.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you.
So just to get back. I'm sorry, George.
Just want to jump back for a second. At the very beginning, in the first part you were talking about feedback and so forth, you mentioned political parties, and you kind of had a quizzical, like, maybe it's appropriate or not. I would say that I believe that it should be appropriate because of their involvement in appointing election judges and canvas board members. They are involved in the process as it goes along. So I think their feedback might be helpful in understanding the system that we're putting into place.
Perfectly good point. Okay. I just threw them in there because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, because you had that kind of quizzical, I wanted to just throw in my two cents.
Okay, so there are two other main aspects that we believe are really outside of the scope of this committee. First of all, legislation and rules pertaining to the manner in which elections are conducted. That's, speaking for myself, way above my pay grade. Somebody else makes those decisions, and we do our best to follow them. And then finally, legislation and rules pertaining to voter registration and the functionalities of the statewide voter registration database. I think this gives us a little clarity about the stuff we should be worrying about and stuff that is really for somebody else to worry about. The next item I'd like to discuss is the transparency policy. And again, for those participating remotely, this will be on the Pilot Election Review Committee's page of our website. The need to develop this policy arose, again, as a result of principally Al Kolwitz's comments. And I again think those were good comments, and they helped us develop a policy that, on the one hand, you know, we are an advisory panel of a state department. We are subject to open meetings laws. We are subject to open records laws, and we have to comply with those. On the other hand, we have a very compressed timeline to accomplish our work, and the work is really important. Colorado counties cannot continue using our current systems for much longer at all. So, what we've tried to do is craft a transparency policy that will make this as public and open and transparent as possible and minimize the administrative tasks about that, like having a general policy rather than picking and choosing each individual document that can be released to the public, for example. And also allows us to fully comply with the applicable laws. So in this policy, I note that this committee obviously doesn't have its own facilities, its own staff. Any materials that are required for the committee or requested by the committee will be supplied by the Secretary of State's office. So, therefore, any member of the public who wants to make a public records request should direct those to the Secretary of State's office, not to the committee as a separate entity. And those open records requests will be handled like we handle all of the open records requests we receive. We do have a CORA policy, and it is available on our website. Records pertaining to the certification or temporary approval of voting systems, we are redeveloping our website as we speak to accommodate this, but starting next Monday, we are going to just automatically post, without a CORA request, our internal work product that relates to temporary approval, and that includes completed applications for temporary approval, a completed Colorado requirements matrix, which we discussed a little bit at the last meeting, but that'll show you all the Colorado requirements that we have determined are satisfied and all of the requirements that we cannot determine are satisfied. That doesn't mean they're not satisfied. It means we just can't find it in any of the documentation. And then we use that requirements matrix to develop and approve a test plan for the system. So when that test plan is completed, and that's a kind of collaborative effort between the provider, my office, and the testing laboratories. When that test plan is approved and completed, it'll automatically go up on our website. And then the letters and documents we issue, either temporarily approving, denying a temporary approval, we also are going to authorize specific counties to use a system in a specific election. And depending on what we see in the testing, each system may have its own unique conditions of temporary use. All of those kind of certification documents will be automatically posted. The more difficult aspect of CORA requests in connection with temporary approval relates to the documents that the providers are required to provide us when they apply for temporary approval. Basically, they are required to provide complete system documentation, user's manuals, training guides, technical specification, technical requirements, prior testing, prior certifications. And these collectively I refer to as the technical data packages. These documents are voluminous and can run to thousands and thousands of pages. We use those documents in performing our official work of temporarily approving systems. So facially or presumptively, they are open records, public records. But there are important exceptions to that. As a custodian of those records, we have an obligation not to publicly disclose trade secrets or confidential financial information. There may be instances when particular portions of particular documents may expose security vulnerabilities that it would be really contrary to public policy to publicly disseminate. And we have an election rule right now that requires vendors to tell us exactly what portions of what documents they believe are exempt from the open records law. So after we discussed this internally with the secretary, on April 2nd, we sent a written communication to all the providers just kind of outlining the, you know, upcoming deadlines and processes. But in that, we asked them to provide us with redacted copies of their supporting documentation. And if they believe that all or a portion of a document is exempt from disclosure under CORA, they need to redact it, provide us with a redacted copy, and, you know, if a document isn't redacted by them, that means that even according to them, it's a public record. So we have asked them to provide us redacted versions by this Friday. That wasn't a demand or a hard deadline because that really may take some time. I can't give you a definitive assessment of where all of them are in that process. But as soon as we receive their redacted documents, we will immediately just put them on our website, no CORA requests necessary. Then if a member of the public wants, you know, disagrees with a CORA exception or wants to see the unredacted version, They need to submit a CORA request to our public information officer, and it will be handled like any other CORA request. And I think this is, accomplishes the dual objectives of letting the public know absolutely as much information about this as possible, and also minimizing the administrative energy that we need to make sure the public is well informed. Okay. So those were the two governance policies. Does anyone have any questions or comments or?
Donato.
I think it's just worth mentioning about the off-the-shelf material that might be used from one of the manufacturers, that usually the off-the-shelf, obviously, that is not covered. I mean, how it was built and everything else, that's, there's a word for it, isn't there, Dwight? You won't have that documentation of, we'll say, a laptop. You won't have...
Oh, that is correct.
There's a certain name for it, but I think it's wise that the public knows that.
Right.
The off-the-shelf material, you won't have the... and so on that it was built from.
That's right. And what in the temporary approval process, we, for most commercial off-the-shelf components, we require the vendor to tell us the make, manufacturer, model number, so that temporary approval is going to be for the Fujitsu F3500 scanner. So that system is authorized for use with that particular scanner. But we don't get into the firmware and the software that the that is utilized by that hardware. We identify it so we know we're seeing the same thing that we temporarily approve being used at a county, but there isn't frankly, any testing that goes into that. So, okay, thank you.
Any additional questions for those of you on the phone for Dwight regarding the transparency and open records policy?
No.
Okay, seeing none. Let's move on, Dwight, to the Denver Municipal Election. You've provided us with a handout on their principal dates, mm-hmm. and I think that this committee had a lot of questions regarding whether what portions or how, if any, we could observe or participate in anything that the Denver Election Commission was doing regarding their municipal election in May.
So the document that I've handed out, and again, this will be put as part of today's materials on our website for those participating remotely, but this is the document that Denver creates on its website, which is very comprehensive, shows all the upcoming dates and deadlines, lists all of the voter service and polling centers, their days of operation, hours of operation, etc. I spoke with Amber McReynolds this morning, and advised her that the Secretary of State's office will appoint members of this committee as Secretary of State observers, basically from today or tomorrow through the completion of the canvas. As Secretary of State observers, you will be permitted to go see any aspect of the election that you like. Just as a courtesy, it's we want you to let Amber know a little, in advance, just so she can tell her judges to expect you and what that means. But you will have complete and full access. In addition, there are a couple of special events that have been arranged for this committee, among others. On May 1st, which is a Friday, at 10 a.m., The members of the committee are welcome to go to the Denver Elections Division, and Amber and her staff will give you a tour of their operations, and it will be basically from the front counter when voters come in, how that works. You'll be able to see the tablet-based in-person voting solution that Dominion has developed. And then they'll take you in the back so that you can see how mail ballots are received, signature verified, deconstructed, and then cast on Dominion's central count solution, which is a series of scanners, desktop scanners, that are networked through individual servers. And you will be able, it'll probably take about an hour, but anybody who wants to is welcome to join us at Denver Elections Friday, May 1st at 10 a.m. Then there is a public event on May 4th at the Art Museum. And there is a presentation of Dominion System. This is a collaboration between Dominion and Denver Elections. But there is a presentation of the new system from 3 to 5 p.m. And then from 5 to 7 p.m. there is a reception. And this event is Denver's baby, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think many, many people from all around the country have been invited to this, and I think a lot of people will attend. I have given all of your names to Steve Bennett, who's kind of running the event for Dominion Voting, so you are welcome to attend. And having said that, Steve, I just remembered, Steve Moreno, I have to remember to send your name to Steve Bennett, but I hope you'll join us if you can.
Okay, thank you.
Denver Art Museum?
Yep.
Members of the committee, have you any questions regarding any of this process for Denver? No? Dwight, do you need commitments from anybody right now?
No, I don't. I'm going to be at both events, and I hope all of you can join us. And but if not, that's fine. But I do think this would be a good opportunity to start kind of getting ideas on how to formulate the structure of this evaluative process, because you'll get a top-to-bottom view of the whole process. I think it'll be very helpful.
Would you like for us to email you, notify you if we're attending either one of them or both?
Now I'm worried about the public meetings law.
Oh, or just show up.
I think just show up.
Okay.
I think it's all set up for you to just show up. And I'm a member of the committee, so we shouldn't be having emails back and forth.
Okay.
You know.
Is everybody okay with that?
Okay with that. I'm fine. I just wonder, do we need a badge or anything like that?
Yes. We will prepare observer letters for you, and I will email those to you. And again, it's just going to be you are entitled to observe any aspect of the election from now until it's over. And then what I would ask you to do is just communicate directly with Amber. I'll provide you her contact information when you're planning to go and observe, just so she can let her people know to expect you.
Sounds fair. Great. Then, now that we have that under control, let's move over to the status of the applications for temporary approval of voting systems, which is our next item on the agenda.
Okay, so we requested all applications to be submitted by April 6th, Monday, and by close of business on Monday, we had received applications from all five vendors. We are going through the process now of reviewing the applications and the supporting documentation to ensure they're complete. It is not uncommon for us to have to go back to the provider to say, we need you to check this box and explain or provide a version of this particular application or something like that. So we're in the process of doing that. And as I noted, all of those applications, as soon as they're completed, will be posted on our website starting next Monday. And other than that, I don't want to prejudge the temporary approval process, but the process is underway. We have completed kind of our work on the requirements matrix for one and almost two of the vendors. That's a very time-consuming process, and we're getting to it just as quickly as we can.
Thank you, Joy. Does anybody have questions regarding that? No. Seeing none, onward to our next item, reviewing the preliminary draft of evaluative materials.
Yes, let me talk about that. I'm sorry, this has been a very busy 2 weeks, and I have some very, very preliminary rough drafts, but I don't like them enough to get to the point of sharing them with the committee. I do have a couple of things that I would like the committee to consider as we move forward. What I'd like to propose is, first of all, let's go and observe Denver, schedule a meeting after that at which I will prepare and we can review some preliminary draft materials, and then I think probably from a process perspective, the best approach would be to break those out, you know, kind of assign further refining to individual members of the committee. But I think seeing how Denver works is going to give a lot of food for thought on what we should contain, what we should include in those materials. The other item that I want the committee to be aware of is, maybe I was feeling sorry for myself for a while, but I really thought this is the first time that any jurisdiction has tried to do something like this, which is pilot different systems in a single election. And I was delighted to learn that I'm wrong. The state of Georgia did this a long time ago in 2001, and they did, I think, 6 or 7 different systems in about 15 cities, and they solicited feedback from voters only. They got an average of, I think, 2,200 responses per city, so they had a lot of information. And they used that feedback to ultimately make a recommendation to the General Assembly. And there is a report. It will be in the folder for today's meeting on the website. It's called Report of the 21st Century Voting Commission. I didn't provide you all with copies of it. It's pretty lengthy. But there are some really interesting ideas in this that I think will also provide food for thought. First of all, that initiative was slightly different from ours, because what Georgia was really looking at was moving to an electronic voting only model, meaning touchscreen machines. And they piloted 5 or 6 or 7 different DREs and ultimately made a recommendation to a uniform system. Georgia works differently than Colorado. In Georgia, Kennesaw basically programs the machines and deploys it out to the counties. The counties, at least, and Donetta, please correct me if I'm wrong, but to my understanding, the counties don't have really any involvement in the programming of the machines.
That's correct, Dwight. Kennesaw also does any repairing, any
maintenance,
the testing, all of that is handled in at the Kennesaw College. And it's even the equipment mainly is stored at the college so that they can do that, and then they deploy it out before election.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of the training.
Right. So I've been in touch with the director of that division, Merle King, and he provided me with this report. And also just, you know, they really kept it simple. Unfortunately, the materials they handed out to voters, according to Merle, have been lost to the mists of time. But you can glean the content of the survey from the report itself. And they were very simple questions. I'll just give you an example.
While you're looking at that, Dwight, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that that Merle King isn't at the Denver election review. I'm sure he will be.
He may well be. Sorry. Of course, now I can't find it. But, I mean, the questions were essentially, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it because, of course, I can't find it at the moment, but it was literally, did you like voting on this system more than the system you used last time? And approximately 95% of the respondents said yes, you know. And it looks to me like the survey materials that were actually distributed maybe consisted of four or five or six discrete, very general questions like that. And they broke the survey. The survey respondents were asked to identify themselves by age, gender, racial, you know, race, ethnic origin, and so forth, because they wanted to spread the results out in, you know, in Georgia under the Department of Justice rules. They needed to make sure that what they were doing would not have a disparate impact on African Americans, and the survey showed that it didn't. Everybody responded at roughly the same rates.
This is Donetta again, and Georgia is underneath the federal requirements, and they can ask for race, but we can't. That's, I think, very important for the public to know. But I wondered, is Denver going to do a survey on the equipment that they're using?
You know, I don't know. And, you know, we initially were trying to get to the point where we could have our evaluative materials ready for Denver, but the system that Denver is using is different from the one that's being presented to us for temporary approval. So I think Denver provides us with a good learning opportunity, but I also think it would not be fair either to Dominion or to the other providers, because, you know, basically Dominion would get two bites of the apple and everybody else has a single election. So let's remove them from our formal evaluation, but go see what it looks like. So here they are. I'm sorry. The questions they asked were, how easy was the voting equipment to use? Do you agree or disagree with this statement? Georgia should upgrade its voting system to a system like the one I use today. How confident were you that your vote was recorded correctly? And compare this system with the voting equipment you used the last time you voted. At least as far as getting voter feedback, Merle believed, and it's evident in the report, that simplicity has its own value. And it also raises other important points, I think. The voting system that voters like is not necessarily the best system for Colorado, simply because there are so many dependencies of those systems. They have to interact with so many other systems that are basically invisible to voters. You know, and by the same token, the cheapest isn't necessarily the best. So our methodology has to, like, fairly collect all of that information, but ultimately the recommendation, I think, cannot be entirely dependent on any one aspect. And I'm not sure how to phrase that in a spreadsheet yet, but that's the issue.
I think where that might be helpful is if we decide to go to the legislature and ask for money, if the voters were happy with it. Also, it gives the legislators, you know, and I would definitely invite them to go try to vote on the equipment wherever it might be to test it themselves also. Because, I mean, you've got to have their support, and not, they don't need to, they won't know the ins and outs of everything else that we're doing, but that could be separate.
Sure.
I think also this, our system differs from the Georgia experience a little bit, I'm assuming, in that we have now this mail ballot situation where a lot of people aren't going into a booth anymore. Whether or not, you know, they fill it out at home and they drop it off and it's stamped in a different way, it's probably not going to make a big difference to their experience. And that I think we are probably talking a little bit more of the balance on the side of processing and making sure that things are done right and transparently and confidentially, more so in those areas that voters probably aren't seeing on a daily basis. So I'm thinking that, you know, given where we are here in Colorado, it may push it a little bit more toward the back office aspects rather than in the case of what you had described in Georgia, where they had done surveys with all these people. I think a lot of the people just check off, dropped off my ballot, right, same as last time, big deal. They're not going to be that excited about whichever system we're using.
I agree, but I think it's very important with the disability community. The accessibility of the equipment and the usability of that equipment is very important to those people. So obviously, I think that's very important because we have to have so many sites by law set up and equipment in those sites. So I think it's also important how usable it is for the voter, especially in the accessibility and usability area of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying, Danetta. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I'm just saying that the balance of the number of people probably is kind of swaying because of the number of people who are submitting mail ballots. But absolutely, the individual experience of voters in the booth is still important and definitely a part of our calculus. I'm just saying that the balance of it may be shifting a little bit.
Teague Simonton, Eagle County Clerk. So, yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, with both of you. We've got, you know, in Eagle County, I think we had 5 people vote on our electronic equipment in this last election, so we're not going to be able to provide much feedback at all. And it's almost, I don't know if we can do this or not, but it would almost be really important to understand in the bigger counties in which people are voting on the electronic equipment, which, as Donetta said, is mandated by federal law, but it's not mandated for only the disabled community to use. It would be really important to try and figure out, of the people who are responding to that portion of the consideration, and as you say, it's much smaller now because so many people are going to be voting by mail, how many of them are disabled, and was it easier or better? You know, these types of questions, if we can ask that, you know, maybe did you use the disability, the functions that, whatever, something like that, you know, that enhance the performance if you are disabled or something, so that we know, because those are really the people for whom these machines were mandated, right? And other people use them, but we really want to make sure that we're considering the ease of use for those people, and how do we get to that? I guess that's important. You might have some thoughts.
Well, this is Jennifer from Disability Law Colorado, and I have done some research and submitted some survey questions based on disability and types of disability so that we can get a clear picture of how a machine accommodates different kinds of disabilities, from visual to hearing impairment and mobility issues. So I will definitely make sure that is included in the survey. So
This is Dwight again from the Secretary of State's office. So there will be materials in the committee's folder on the website. I'd invite you all to review them. And then my proposal would be, let's schedule our next meeting after Denver's election, and we'll, I will have drafts of all the evaluation materials, and they are very preliminary. I just wanted to give you all a starting point, and then we can assign them to members of the committee for further refinement. Does that sound all right?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think I'd like to have our meeting in between, because I'm not going to lay money on it, but I would say Denver's going to have a runoff because they've got several candidates. So I'd like to have it in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if we do decide as a committee that we need to go back and observe something, I think it would be well worth our time to do it before their runoff.
So if we did it, and I need to step out and check and make sure the room is available, but if we scheduled it for May 21st, which is a Thursday again?
That's bad. I can't be here, but if the rest of them can, that's
28th?
I think that's fine. But everybody else should check, too.
Give me just a second to step out and just make sure the room is available.
Are you okay? You okay?
Do you want to?
What time are you thinking of meeting on the 28th?
28th, Steve, is that okay? And we ought to also ask Liz.
What time are you wanting to get together?
We usually do it in the morning, Steve. I think 9:30.
9:30.
Can I make a request on that day? I've got a
quick breakfast in the morning that day with some city officials of Greeley.
Okay, so
maybe just be a little late.
Yeah,
Wednesday.
That day, I've got something at the end of the day down here in Denver. So, if we did a morning meeting, I'd have a big gap in the middle. So, would it be convenient to start at midday and then go for a couple hours there?
Steve said he has.
That would work better for me.
Yeah, he has something first thing in the morning, so he's got a conflict. So
works for me.
Is that okay with you?
We'll say 1:30 to 3:30.
Yeah, that would be great with me.
Steve, how's that look for you and Liz? Yep.
That'll work for me.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's consideration on that. Just save me.
Okay, so Steve and Liz, hold on just 1 second while Dwight checks the calendar.
And you'll just send out a calendar reminder?
Oh, we'll let you know in a couple of minutes. He just went to go check the calendar.
Thank you.
I had a feeling we can't do that.
This is Dwight again. There is a 30-minute conflict that I can't resolve because the person who set that meeting is here. Why don't we go ahead and set it for that date and time? We'll find someplace. We may not be able to use this room. If so, we may have to use Blue Spruce or something.
Okay, so Steve and Liz, did you guys hear that the 28th it is?
1:30?
Yes. But we're not certain of the room. We might end up in the Blue Spruce room.
This is Liz, and that's fine with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so is that pretty much it, Dwight, or do we have any other agenda items that we needed to cover?
I think those were basically it. So I'm just trying to think here. What I want to do is get my draft materials on the website and to each of you the week before and give you some time to think about them, and then we'll discuss them when we all convene again. But I'm going to give myself an internal deadline so that you all have a chance to review in advance.
Members of the committee, have you any other questions? Well, seeing none, this concludes today's agenda, and we are adjourned until the 28th. So it's 10:54, and this meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, folks. And thank you for joining us here, too.